It's jet lag or vertigo, but I'm seeing double at the moment. I was telling Troy before and just reflecting on something that Graham said to me. You know, it was about 8 years ago when I first went to Cambodia and stayed with Donna and Jean-Paul, who are just amazing people with us tonight here on a couple of weeks break, still living over there down south in Cambodia. When I was there, I was very nervous about Cambodia. I'd never been outside of my comfort zone in a developing nation before, and I was scared about everything, actually. I think I washed my hands 49 times a day, that kind of stuff. Didn't really eat much, so I lost a few kilos, which I know it's hard to believe, but I did. But God placed this vision in my spirit that one day God would enable us and lead us to partner with some locals to start a faith community in Phnom Penh. And over 7.5 years, I think Graham mentioned it to me in a message this week, it was worth the 7-year wait to see what God is doing there now. And it's so true. And, you know, we started to support a dormitory, a dorm about 4 years ago that houses young adults that come to look for work or go to university from the provinces. They come and live in the city. They have nowhere to stay. They have no money. And so we now house about 24 young adults, which is about 3 doors down from Kingsway. They call it the Kingsway Community Centre. And it's about 3 doors down from that. And not everyone that goes stays at the dorm are Christian. One of the things that they have to do is if they want to stay there, they have to come to this life group that they run on a Thursday night. And in that video, you saw some worship towards the end of it. That was the life group that they run on a Thursday night. They're all at university. This would not work here with you lot, I know. The life group starts at 9:15 at night. That's when it starts. And by the time it started on the Thursday night, I was so tired. Going, I don't know if I could. Imagine starting a life group at 9:15. Like, it's just crazy. But they all rock up after being at uni because they finish uni about, some of them work during the day, then they go to uni at night trying to learn English, get ahead, all that kind of stuff. They finish about 8:30, rock on down to the center, and they've seen 4 young adults give their life to Jesus in the last 3 months. I mean, this is Kingsway Global. Like, this is what we're a part of. It's, you know, and I was so overwhelmed at times, emotionally just touched by seeing God move and seeing young people hungry to give their life to Christ and then serve Him. You know, the girl who was running the kids program, she volunteers and gives an incredible amount of her energy to running the kids stuff that they do there. You know, she only became a Christian through the dorm 2 years ago. And now she's serving. Isn't it so good that we're a part of that? This is us. You know, it's not some out there over the water kind of thing we just throw money at. No, this is their heart beats with our heart. And we're not telling them what to do. I go there, I do some training with them, I just get alongside them, encourage them and support them, and I want more of us to do that. I'm looking at the possibility of taking a team from here in June or July to go over for a week and just get alongside them and be there. Love you to be a part of that. We're just sitting back going, listen to Jesus, what's He telling you? What is He telling you to be doing? And we're just partnering with them as they do it. And God is doing some incredible things. It's so cool. It was great to be able to practice vision on them for a week because they don't really understand my English that well. So they all said it was really good. You're going to get a couple of things as you leave today. One is our Beyond Faith Giving for 2016. And then there's another little card here which kind of outlines the next 2 Sundays or the next 2 services, including today and next week, when we're talking about the vision and how that looks and the practicalities of that. We're really trying to make it simple, obviously. to simplify everything. We really feel God is calling us in to do that. So I'm going to just share for only a short time, 10 or 15 minutes, keep my message simple as well. I just really want you to be able to take home some key things tonight that will really, I believe, help move us as a faith community together in 2016. And I think God's already started that work, you know, and that's been exciting as we explored the Holy Spirit over the last month and just allowed God to move in that. We had a fantastic time a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Those that could come to the, we call it Simply Thirst, just come hungry for God, and just had an amazing time of worship and ministry together, and just I feel so excited about what God is doing in and through us. Sharing this same message with Sea Change crew tomorrow morning in their service as well. So, good times. Here's a question for you. Is your life a reflection of your environments, or are your environments a reflection of you? Do your choices determine your life, or does your life determine your choices? Are you creating the outcomes in your life, or are you living in response to what's being created around you? Deep. Is your life a reflection of your environments? In other words, the question I'm asking is, who's dictating, determining, deciding the outcomes that you are getting in your life? Are you living in response to what goes on around you? Are you living at cause, or are you living in response to what goes on? So are you responding, living in effect because of what's going on around you? Are you determining your life? You know, I think in our culture, predominantly, the people that I talk to are predominantly living in effect. They're actually living in response to what's going on around them. They're not creating their life. They're living in response to the life that's being created for them externally. And I believe that the challenge for us as His church is to get out of that headspace, to declutter our brain, to declutter our faith, to declutter our lives, to simplify so that we can focus on what is the main thing. You know, I hate clutter. And not everyone hates clutter. Some people like, I don't know why or how, but some people like just like swim in clutter. You know, they love clutter. I don't like clutter. I wouldn't say I'm a cleanliness freak, but I reckon I'm a bit of a clutter freak. You know, I like things to be organized. You know, it's my type A personality probably. I like things. You like this too, don't you, Elise? I can, she's nodding, going, amen, preach it. We live in a very cluttered world. And I'm not just talking about physical clutter, like environment clutter, but that's part of it. I mean, I read this interesting quote in a book that I read. I've read as many books as I could on the whole concept of simplify over the last 8 months. And I read this one book called Clear, How to Simplify Your Life and Live More Fearlessly. Not a Christian book, but some interesting concepts in the book. And the lady, Anik, makes this statement. She says, clutter can be classified as anything you don't use or love. It involves having too many possessions in too small an area, which creates a disorganized and chaotic space. It can also include anything that is unfinished in your life, like that book you just can't seem to finish or that painting you gave up on. Dealing with the clutter will simplify your life, allow beauty into your surroundings, and give the emotional room to live fearlessly, ultimately leading to more success. How do you feel when you declutter something? How good is it? You know, like I did it the other week in this cupboard in our, you know, near our kitchen, and it was just like, you know, when you use something, you just sort of throw it back, and over a period of time, it just becomes this disorganized, cluttered mess. Well, I 4 hours, you know, pulled everything out, reorganized it, made it look, and it was like the best feeling ever. I think my family think I'm weird sometimes, you know. So I decluttered the cupboard. I loved and it feels good, doesn't it? Come on. Like, even if you love clutter a little bit. Actually, I don't, it's you know, clutter is unhealthy. So if you love clutter, come and talk to me. We've got some work to do. Clutter can also be emotional, right? Like, overthinking stuff. You know, those random chaotic thoughts that keep running around in our head, lying in bed at night wondering why we can't sleep because we can't switch off our brain. That is emotional clutter, thought clutter, and it's just as unhealthy. It's not good for you. It's stopping you sleep, it's stopping you rest, it's stopping you stay focused. All the jumbled up feelings and experiences we have in our lives come out in our habitats, our environments, and our behavior. So if you're emotionally cluttered, it's going to come out in the life that you live, in your behavior. If your thinking is cluttered, is anyone here like a confessed overthinker? Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to do a session on overthinking. You guys need some help. Like, overthinking. Oh, my God. The amount of time people spend overthinking stuff that is unproductive, unhelpful, unresourceful, and just produces this kind of chaotic anxiety, fear. You know, the Israelites, when Moses led the Israelites out of slavery, they were the world's worst overthinkers. Seriously. You know, here's four things that I want you to remember, just to write down or whatever. Think. The goal of decluttering our faith, of simplify, we need a goal, right? This is the goal. And if you think this sounds inviting, then we're on the same page. The goal of decluttering faith or simplifying life is this. One, greater freedom. Who would like greater freedom in their life? Yeah, come on. Greater freedom. Amen. Oh, I'm already excited. Deeper clarity. Yep. Intentional focus. And desired outcomes. Is that enough? So the goal of what God has been speaking to us as a community of leaders over the last 8 months, God first placed this word simplify in my spirit in April last year. Because I asked God the question, I said, I'm thinking next year, God, like we've done beyond 2015, like what would be beyond beyond? Like what could be more than beyond? Like as beyond's like to infinity and beyond, like it's out there. And God said, it's not about what's more, it's actually the opposite. It's about what's less. It's about decluttering. It's about simplifying. And it just sat in my spirit. And then over the last 8 months, as a staff and elders and our planning and retreats, we've just continually had conversations and rumbled and wrestled and argued. And we haven't fought, but, you know, we've got emotional about it because it's really wanted God to bring just a real deep clarity to us because this is about who we are and who we're becoming as a faith community. And so the goal of decluttering and simplifying our life is those four things: greater freedom, deeper clarity, intentional focus, and desired outcomes. Interestingly, I believe they're the same things in the big picture that God wanted to release in the lives of the Israelites when he set them free from Egypt. What I find fascinating in the story, if you read it in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, is this little part I'm going to read to you. Verse 30 of Numbers 13 says this: But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are well able to overcome it. There's a man with vision, right? Then the men who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Numbers 14 verse 1, then all the congregation raised a loud cry and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not have been better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. You know, we are always drawn to safety, comfort, and security, aren't we? Come on. We're always drawn to safety, comfort, and security. You think about the amount of money that the Western world spends on those three things. Safety, comfort, and security. And when a leader brings a vision that may lead us into risk, sacrifice, and challenge, I've got to tell you this, that if there isn't alignment around that vision, wilderness wandering will be the result. To possess the promised land was not Moses' vision. It was God's vision. He gave it to Moses to lead his people, the Israelites, out of bondage, physical, emotional, spiritual bondage, into the promised land, a land that is rich and flowing with milk and honey. The spies go in, two of them have faith, 10 of them are scared. And it's the 10 and the disunity and the lack of alignment around God's vision that led them into the wilderness for 40 years. The vision for the Israelites was brilliant, God-given, exciting, but it was challenging and confronting. And the people chose fear over faith. And because of that, they wandered aimlessly for 40 years. You know, it's funny, you can rescue someone from a life of bondage and it's all high fives, only to have that same people walk a journey into the promised land where true freedom awaits. You know, I believe vision will always ask of us three things: faith, action, and alignment. You know, as we launch into this vision for this year, the steps beyond, I believe that we need these three things as a faith community. Without faith, which is the idea of stepping out of our comfort zone, you know, some people would say you spell faith R-I-S-K. Without faith, the Bible tells us it is impossible to please God. It's about stepping out of our comfort zone with an unwavering trust in God. It's saying this is His vision. This is where He's leading us. We need faith. God is not going to lead us into His preferred future without us requiring Him in the journey. Of course, the Israelites could not possess the promised land in their own strength. But when they relied on the promise that God said, this is yours to take, and they stepped out of their comfort zone in faith, they would have taken it. They needed God, and we need God. You know, if we're going to walk and step into a vision that is something that I can do on my own, I don't need God, it's not God's vision. I need to be out of my comfort zone, out of my depth. It needs to be confronting, it needs to be challenging, it needs to be ridiculously outrageous. So countercultural that the world will notice something different. What the heck is going on there? You know, the thing I love in Cambodia's faith community is that everything they do, they base on love. It's all they're doing, loving the community, loving the community, loving the kids, serving the kids, helping the community, loving, 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 loving. And then the community's going, wow. They're not responding to, you know, special treatment or getting gifts or getting freebies. They're responding to being loved. It takes courage to love. It does, my friends. Think about our own community. It takes courage to love. We need faith. We need to realize that this is God. There's no way the Israelites could have possessed the promised land without God. Without action, Vision becomes another cute saying slapped on the wall. You know, I heard a saying is that, you know, you can be on the right track, but if you just stay there, you're still going to get hit by the train if you don't move. You know, vision requires faith and it requires action. Without action, vision just is this thing that we put up there and go, hey, look at that. It looks great. Thank you, Greg and Dave and all those that have worked hard to get it up there this week. It looks fantastic as a reminder, but if that's where it stays and it doesn't penetrate in your heart and motivate us toward action, that's all it will ever be. Vision requires movement. The Israelites could never possess the promised land by staying in camp, holding on to what they had and waiting for God to make it happen. He makes it happen as we go. He builds the bridge as we walk on it. And lastly, vision requires alignment, unity of heart, mind, and intention. It's not even about agreement, it's about alignment. It's two very different concepts. You know, we've had some interesting conversations as a team about what God is saying. And we haven't always been in agreement, but we always end in alignment. Alignment is about unity. It's about saying at the end of the day, we align ourselves to what we believe God is saying. The 12 spies didn't have alignment around God's vision. And where there was no alignment, there's no blessing. And where there's no blessing, there is wilderness wandering. I don't want to wander in the wilderness. Do you? We need to align ourselves to what God is saying. You know, the simplified vision for us is primarily focusing on what matters, the uncluttered faith, the simple gospel. Simplifying and clarifying, align ourselves to the mission of Jesus. Because it's His mission we're fulfilling, not ours. I'm skipping notes here. Trying to work out what to leave out or if to leave it out. Second Timothy verse 4 says this in the Message Bible. Jesus is about to break into the open with His rule to proclaim the message. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You know, I think we clutter life because that's what happens. And I think over a period of time, we clutter our faith. We make it way more complicated than it needs to be. You know, as we've wrestled with this as a team over this last sort of 8 months, we believe God has really laid on our hearts three key things that to simplify all that we're about as a whole church, all our ministries, all our programs, everything that we connect with, and our personal lives, our life groups, all that we are, all that we're doing, to simplify all of that into three things that we're all going to commit ourselves to becoming. The first is a seeker. This is about pursuing our own personal growth and development. It is about making a decision that I am going to seek to grow in my relationship with God. This is a decision that I am going to seek and pursue. This is active. You can't sit back and wait for this to happen. A seeker is action. It's something that I'm going to do. It's someone I'm going to become. I'm going to become a seeker. I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to grow in my journey, in my relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to sit back and wait any longer. I'm not going to sit back and wait for something to happen. I'm going to eagerly pursue this. I'm going to go after it because at the end of the day, I want to become the person that God has called and created me to be. And I'm going to commit my life group, my ministry, all that I'm involved in and engaged in to becoming mature followers of Jesus. Simple, really. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, again out of the Message Bible, he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That is not complicated. That is not cluttered. Free is not clutter. And I love how the Message Bible says, walk with me and work with me. Two keys. This is the walk. To commit to walking with Jesus and growing in my faith as a follower of Jesus. The second is that we will become speaker. Seeker, speaker. Speaker is about the call on us as a faith community to share the story of Jesus to the world. You know, one of the things I loved in Cambodia is that when these people come and get their bike washed, and I was a bike washer, it's a bit hard for me to sit down and talk to people because I don't speak heaps good Khmer. So I was washing, but I was just watching. They would sit down, and in maybe it took 8 to 10 minutes to wash and dry a moto. That's what they call them, motos. They're like little scooter things. They would sit down, share what God is doing, share God's story, and invite them to something in 10 minutes. I went, you know what? That is not hard. It's not complicated. It's because we're so passionate and they're so passionate about this message and freedom of the kingdom of God that we just want to share it with others. We're not ashamed of it. We're excited about it. We see it as freedom. We see it as the steps to life in all its fullness. And so when I sit down and talk to someone, of course I'm going to talk about the freedom that the kingdom of God offers. So we're going to commit to that in all that we are, in all that we do, in all of our ministries, in all of our programs, in all of our lives, in all of our life groups, that we're going to become speakers. I'm going to grow and become not just walk with Jesus, but I'm going to work with Jesus. You know what? When you do that, Jesus doesn't abandon you. He's right there with you. Share and invite people into God's story. And finally, we will become supporters. And this is about loving and connecting people into our faith community. Again, I see this everywhere in our community here, through our mainly music, through our Platform 9, through our life group stuff, through our kids ministry, through the kids club that was on here this afternoon that Avzi runs. This constant desire to love and connect people into our faith community. But it's part of the three. We need to be supporters so that we can be speakers, so that they can become seekers. It's not just picking one thing out. It's going, you know, this is the simpler, decluttered journey of faith. That yes, we love well. You know what? We're as a community of faith, we love people well. We get alongside them, we love them, we bless them, we serve them. And we need to continue to be doing that. But we need to see this as the whole vision. These three key elements. That we would become supporters, seekers, speakers and seekers. That we would work with Jesus and walk with him. That we would watch how he does it. When we keep company with him, we will learn to live freely and lightly. You know, the purpose and the goal of this life, of this simplified life, is what? For you. Greater freedom, deeper clarity, intentional focus, and desired outcomes. God wants to transform your life so that we can transform others. Let me pray. Jesus, I just thank you that you are leading us into an incredible future. So blessed by your incredible love for us. God, I know that we don't always get it right. But God, I pray that you would stir up in us this desire to step out in incredible faith, to take incredible action, and to be deeply aligned to the things that you're calling us into as your church. God, I thank you for your promise. In Matthew 16, where you said, I will build my church. And God, we declare that this is your church and you need to build it. We don't want to build your church. We don't want to try and build our church and give it back to you as something that, you know, hey, God, look at this. This is your church and you said you would build it. So God, we ask, we cry, we pray, God, come and build your church. Because you promised that when you build your church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that you give to us access to all that is the kingdom of God. Release that on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, build your church. Build your church. God, I pray that you would empower us, encourage us to be a people of faith, of action, and alignment as we step out into this year and declutter our lives, declutter our faith, declutter our worlds, to live simpler so that we are more focused, more free, more intentional, and we get these incredible kingdom outcomes and fruit. In Jesus' name, let's stand and worship together.